notice that the band is playing music which is out of copyright, so that nobody has to pay any royalties.
Mine head is biting you, my darling. Mine head fanned by dear glue. Noch trennen uns Länder und Meere. Doch bald kehr ich wieder zurück.
The Beatles weren't overnight sensations as performers, and the same can be said for their success as recording artists. Their first efforts in the studio occurred in Hamburg on a return visit there in 1962. They were hired to back up Tony Sheridan, a British singer who had a big following in Germany. After the Hamburg trip, they returned to Liverpool, where they met Brian Epstein. Brian was a local record store owner. He became their first real manager. It was Brian who changed their act, made them change from leather jackets to matching suits, and got them recording auditions with the major English record companies in London. Paul McCartney remembers those auditions as something less than pleasant.
We did some recording auditions. Those were my kind of first memories of coming down to London. And those were always nerve-wracked things. You know, you'd set up your equipment in the studio and sort of do 20 numbers or something. And then they'd say, we'd let you know, you know.
Spur. spring is here. To me, it's still September. Oh, that's September.
By 1962, the Beatles were firmly established as local favorites in Liverpool. But they and their new manager wanted to reach out to the rest of England, and they wanted to record. They auditioned for just about every major and or minor label they could find in London before Brian Epstein turned to his last hope, George Martin.
I was looking for a group. In 1962, I was running the part of own label. I was already had quite a few artists that were selling very well, but I felt that I could do something extra. I heard from a publisher that there was a guy walking around with some tapes that was interesting, and he was my publisher, and he sent me Brian Epstein. Brian Epstein came in and played a disc of the Beatles, and I thought, well, it was moderately interesting. I think I'd better have a look at the chaps. Told Brian to bring the boys down to London. He groaned inwardly, I'd learnt later, because it was his last chance. He'd been around every other record company in the world. And I spent an afternoon with them in the studio at Abbey Road, and I thought they were marvellous. When I first saw them, I knew that there was something there. When we made the first record, I knew it wasn't going to be a hit, but I knew all I had to do was find the right song, and I would have a big hit with them. I didn't know at that stage they could write it.
How do you do what you do to me? I wish I knew. If I knew how you do it to me, I'd do it to you. How do, what you do to me? I'm feeling blue. Wish I knew how you do it to me, but I have no clue. You give me a feeling in my heart, ooh la la, like an arrow passing through it. Suppose that you think you're very smart. Won't you tell me how do you do it? How do you do what you do to me? I wish I knew. If I knew how you do it to me, I'd do it to you. You think you're very smart, but won't you tell me how do you do it? How do you do what you do to me? I wish I knew. Wish I knew how you do it to me, but I have no clue. Wish I knew how you do it to me, I'd do it to you. Wish I knew how you do it to me, I do it to you. We three.
song was memorable for another reason, too. It, like the other Beatles songs produced by George Martin, didn't include Pete Best on drums. A decision was made to change drummers, and so the Beatles hired an old friend from another Liverpool band, Richard Starkey, better known as Ringo Starr. Here's author Peter Brown.
Everyone knew Richard Starkey. He was the drummer with Rory Storm, which is another popular group in Liverpool.
Right.
So when they were looking for somebody to replace Pete Best, they knew Ringo to be a competent drummer, and he was a friendly, nice guy who would fit in with them.
The line was set, and the Beatles started working with George Martin at EMI Studios in London in September of 1962. Paul recalls that first recording session.
I remember standing doing Love Me Do in EMI's number 2 studios, which is still there, you know, kind of looking exactly like it looked. They haven't changed it since then, you know, I don't know what it is. I think they don't want to interfere with the sound or something, so it looks exactly the same, you know. But I remember sitting there kind of looking up at the big glass window, you know, just terrified out of my mind having to sing this song, you know, Love Me Do. And I can hear on the record now, Love Me Do.
Remembers that they used to draw a loyal following to the Cavern every week, and that was great.
Because I love the thing that happens when you're playing in a place, you know, like used to happen in the Cavern, where you get this regular crowd of people who are kind of just lunchtime people from the city, and they'd be coming in and they'd know your numbers. After about 3 or 4 days, they start requesting numbers. You'd start to know them. You'd start to know who the request is for. Yeah, you used to have a great time down the Cavern doing requests for, you know, Lonnie, who is at the moment in Walton Jail for a short period, but he wishes all his mates the best, you know, and he wants us to play Shop Around, you know, because they were the local shoplifters.
Long distance information, give me Memphis, Tennessee. Try to find the party, trying to get in touch with me. She would not leave her number, but I know who placed the call. Small coat took the message and he wrote it on the wall. Help me, information, more than that I cannot have. Only that I miss her,
and all the fun we had. We were pulled apart because Mama would not agree. Help me get in touch with her in Memphis, Tennessee. The last time that I saw Marie, she was waving me goodbye. With hurry home drops on her cheek, trickle from her eye. Marie is only 6 years old, information please. Help me get in touch with her in Memphis, Tennessee. Saw Marie, she was waving me goodbye. With hurry home drops on her cheek, trickle from her eye. Marie is only 6 years old, information please. Help me get in touch with her in Memphis, Tennessee.
Sometimes there's a line that he does, and then I do a line, or sometimes John can write a whole song.
Ah,
yes, oh, he's a wonder when he gets going. Sometimes I can even do that.
I saw a girl in my dreams, and so it seems that I will love her, oh, you. You are that girl in my dreams, and so it seems that I will love you, and I waiting for your kiss, waiting for the bliss, like dreamers do. And I oh, I'll be there, yeah, waiting for you. Came just one dream ago, and now I know that I will love you. Oh, you when you first said hello, that's how I know that I will love you. And I waited for your kiss, waited for the bliss. One dream ago, and now I know that I will love you. Oh, you when you first said hello, that's how I know that I will love you. And I waited for your kiss, waited for the bliss. Crazy for me.